Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Fact is that the taxpayers of this state have made an enormous investment in these young people. And the question is, do we want to maximize our investment through giving them nothing more than an opportunity? There is no guarantee of success here. And because the DREAM Act has been signed, it does not mean that every student who now has the opportunity to go to college will succeed. Some will, some won't.
That is Chris Christie talking about amnesty. We well know that he's a wobbly. He is definitely the old-style Rockefeller Republican. He is in favor of amnesty, melting the borders, polyglotting the language, decimating the culture. Welcome to the program. I want to remind you that we've gone from the great society to the hate society in one generation. I just created that for you today. From the great society to the hate society in one generation. And what I mean by that will become clear as the show goes on. As we talk about Christie and the other repubes becoming just Democrat light, and I mean Democrat light, not even Democrat strong. They're like a cappuccino with, well, whatever. Amnesty is what he wants, and why I oppose amnesty is what the topic is of the opening of this show. Why I oppose amnesty. I'm going to ask you a question as I explain to you why I say how we've gone from the great society to the hate society will only get worse. Also, I will explain to you why I am an immigrant son and still oppose amnesty. You have to understand that. My ancestors did not come over on the Mayflower. My ancestors came over on, I don't know, what, the Marshaloo, whatever they came over on. I don't know what the name of the ship was. Some third-class steerage. Grandpa came here, worked his heart out, died at 47 of a heart attack. Brought the children over from Russia when he was seven. Father worked his heart out, died at 53. So each day to me is a miracle that I'm alive. I outlive, you know, the longevity line. If one day you hear the microphone slap against the desk, you'll know that it's over. God has called me home. But until that happens, I'll be here on the microphone saying, give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. And I feel that I have an obligation to tell you that the immigrants of the past are not necessarily the immigrants of today. The immigrant situation of the past is not akin to the situation of today, and you know the reasons why. And I'll ask you, what is your biggest fear from illegal immigration? Will Obama pass amnesty through executive order with a wink from the Republicans like Christie? Will the vote of hardworking Americans ever count again? Do you fear terrorists will end up gaining U.S. citizenship if amnesty passes? That's a no-brainer. They already have. They already have. Do you fear amnesty will pass no matter what? Very important questions, which I will cover on the program for you as the show goes on. And I invite your calls at 855-472-8282. The reason I oppose amnesty, the reasons are, one, we need security first. Close the borders, seal the borders, lock the borders down. Then we can talk about amnesty for illegals. Two, we have high unemployment, in case you haven't noticed. I know it's not affecting the real estate market in the Upper East Side of Manhattan or the downtown South of Market area in San Francisco. We still have a very high unemployment rate. We have over 13 million Americans on federal disability. God knows how many millions on unemployment insurance. Why don't they go to work? There's no incentive for them. So take away more of the incentive by giving the jobs to non-citizens? No. Three, 47% of Americans are paying no income taxes at all. Do we really need to add to their ranks? 47% of Americans are paying no income taxes. Do you need to add to that rank, to those ranks? In the last several years, millions of illegal aliens have illegally immigrated to the United States. They have breached our borders, displaced many Americans from lower-paying jobs, and placed an increased financial burden on many states and local governments for medical care. They're decimating our hospitals. They're decimating our schools with the demand for English as a second language. Do I have to spell it out for you? Next, we've already tried this once before. It didn't work then, and it won't work now. As former Reagan Attorney General Ed Meese has noted, we've already tried this during the Reagan administration. That's right. Your hero, Ronald Reagan, did this. You don't know that. Reagan allowed roughly 2.7 million illegal aliens to become citizens. In exchange, we were supposed to implement security measures to fix the system. Has it worked? No. It won't work now. Next, new immigrants are naturally ideologically aligned with liberals and socialism. The more legalization, these political thinkers say, just means more votes for Democrats and socialism in future elections. Next, greater income inequality will result. More bilingualism and cultural balkanization and ethnic unrest. More Mexican and other foreign government involvement in our internal affairs. More vulnerability to terrorist threats. More poor people, leading to progressively bigger government, financed by progressively higher taxes, causing progressively slower growth in productivity and per capita income. That's just the beginning. There are more reasons why I oppose amnesty. Now, I will make them as the show goes on. I will explain my position as an immigrant son, why I oppose amnesty for illegal aliens. I want you to understand, though, that I don't just see the people as aliens. I see them as people. I work with people from these countries, whether they're cleaning my house or mowing my lawn. Believe me, I'm not blind. I see how wonderful many of these people are. I understand their families. The family structure is stronger than most of the American family structures that I see. I see who goes to the Catholic churches on Sunday. I'm not blind. I'm one of the few talk show hosts who sees it and talks about it. It's been an issue I've been talking about since 1994. Borders, language, culture is the motto of my show. And yet I tell you, this is not what this country needs. It's the opposite of what the country needs. It will eliminate our sovereignty. It will eliminate the demographic structure of America, and the most affected group will be the poor, unemployed, white and black underclass in this society. Make no mistake about it, it's all about cheap labor. It is all about cheap labor, which is why the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is in favor of it. It's why the Republicans are going for it. It has nothing to do with reason, it has to do with higher profits. Period, end of story. That's why Mark Zuckerface, the billionaire scam artist, in my opinion, from Facebook fame. Mr. Facebook suddenly marches a few months ago in favor of illegal aliens. Why? Because Facebook wants cheaper labor, in my opinion. And he wanted to curry favor with the president so we could be invited to the White House and get benefits such as, how much taxes did Facebook pay last year? What was Facebook's total tax burden last year? How much did Facebook pay on U.S. earnings? How much did Facebook pay on U.S. earnings? How much did Microsoft pay on U.S. earnings? How much did GE pay on U.S. earnings? How much did Google pay on U.S. earnings? The answer is next to nothing, the last I checked. They're all using the double Irish methodology for escaping taxes. It's a goddamn shame they're not in prison for this. And yet they have the nerve to tell us to pay our fair share? No, my friends, it's all a scam. Make no mistake about it. And yet I'm open to discussion on the matter. I'm open to discussion on the matter. You know where I stand. I've given you my opinion. I've expressed some of the reasons I oppose it. I've told you that it's all a scam for lower wages and higher profits. It has nothing to do with humanity. There's no humanitarian reason for this whatsoever. Now I want to hear you to call me. You can call the show and argue with me. But look, the rules are simple. If you want to attack my ideas, go ahead. Don't attack me, because I won't take the call. It's bad radio. It's that simple. 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE, arguments against amnesty, for amnesty. And now I want to begin with something else, and that is today, 50 years ago today, President Lyndon Baines Johnson gave a State of the Union speech on which he and the Demon Cats, who had until that point done everything humanly possible to oppose any manner of civil rights for blacks, including the filibuster of the Civil Rights Act by noted KKK member and longtime Democrat Robert Byrd. Then he decided that it was time to stop oppressing blacks and, quote, start helping them. I'm quoting, helping them. That was the birth of the modern phase of the progressive movement and was known as the Great Society. As I said to you at the outset, we have gone from the Great Society to the hate society in one generation. This speech by Johnson was lauded by so-called liberal do-gooders and marked the beginning of white guilt, the individual or collective guilt often said to be felt by some white people for the racist treatment of people of color by whites both historically and presently. On that day, Johnson declared unconditional war on poverty in America. It sounds good, right? A war on poverty? Well, some white people did own slaves. and helping the poorest among us is never a bad thing, is it? Well, let me explain to you some of the other elements of this picture. Sure, some white folks owned slaves and stood on the backs of the poor to earn their fortunes. Did we all do it? No, we didn't. Should we all be made to pay for those crimes? No. Should I, as the son of an immigrant, feel guilty for my success because of the sins of my fathers? My fathers had no sins. They had no sins whatsoever. Just like you, Michael Savage is forced to compete in the world the way it is now. I have been stepped on by the liberal society. I've been thrown out of jobs, not given jobs because of my race. And yet I am where I am because I wouldn't give up, because I have tenacity and I have the guts to keep fighting. But I treat people as fairly as possible, and I'm responsible for my own actions. I cannot and will not be responsible for the lot of others on this planet. In the same way, they're not responsible for mine. They don't care about me. Who helped me when I was down? Nobody. I had to turn to myself. Now, let me give you a little fact, all of you do-gooders. I want you to write this down, all of you do-gooders in San Francisco and elsewhere. Until 1965, 82% of black households had both a mother and a father in the home. 82% of black households, mother and father, until 1965, about equal to that of white families at the time. After the Great Society initiatives were put in place, the presence of black fathers in the home began a precipitous decline. Today, the American black out of wedlock birth rate is at 69%. Why? Because the Great Society progressive policies instituted 50 years ago today have done this damage, especially to black families. And you say, well, what's the connection? What is the causal link? It's very straightforward. The Democrats are very clever. They replaced the male in the household with the government, or by the government. The government became the father. The government became the breadwinner. The government became the supporter. The government became the husband. They decimated the family structure, especially in the African American and the poor white community. That's an analysis that is shared by numerous sociologists over the last number of decades. This is the Savage Nation. I oppose amnesty for the reasons I expressed. If you care to join in the conversation, the phone number is 855-47282. Don't go away, though. Not yet. I'm not ready to take my first break. I got to do this slowly but surely. I'm also today going to talk about, again, the dangers of the flu shot. I have more information for you because the propaganda from the government is getting even stronger. They want to sell you more flu shots. Be very wary. Three, marijuana. It may be legal, but is it safe? The answer is no, fool. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
And this administration today, here and now, declares unconditional war on poverty in America.
Some will exceed beyond anyone's expectations, and some not. But our job, I believe, as a government, is to give every one of these children, who we have already invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in, an opportunity to maximize that investment for their own benefit, for the benefit of their families, and for the benefit of our state and our country.
Now, why did I play LBJ and Christie in the same soundbite? Why did I link them? Because we heard it all before. There's nothing new. Christie tried to give the most sincere intonations in his exclamations and his protestations about the illegal alien children. Like, your children don't deserve the same break. They do, though. You see, they're a special class. They are the sacred cow of America. In India, they have a sacred class, a sacred cow. You can't run, you can't eat cows. You can't, your car has to stop around cows. They're the and then there's a class in India of the untouchables. In America, we have a sacred class. They're non-citizens. Yet the politicians seem to work for them, not for the citizens of the country, whatever your race or social status may be. How did it happen that this group called Congress, whatever level they're in, no matter what party they're in, seem to be representing non-citizens? How did that happen? Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America is one of my mottos, my friends. Where is the America in what Christie just said? Can anyone listening to this show honestly tell me what Christie just said, where he's catering to the illegal alien children, the Dream Act, that he's representing the American voter, the American taxpayer, fiscal responsibility? I don't see it. We've gone from the great society to the hate society in one generation. It's going to get much worse. Not because of me. You could say it's because of people who dare talk about reality, but you'd be wrong. No, it's because of them. It's because they're going to foist 30, 50 million illegal aliens upon us who will not be absorbed into this society. Till 1965, 82% of black households had both a mother and a father in the home. After 1965, after the Great Society initiated by LBJ, the black father in the home began to disappear. Today, the American black out-of-wedlock birth rate is at 69%. Don't blame me for that. The liberal, socialist, progressive policies instituted 50 years ago on this date, today, have done damage to many families, but the biggest loser has been the African-American family. But how about that whole helping the poor angle? There has to be some good there, right? Well, President Obama, who has continued the liberal, progressive policies of LBJ, basically giving people free stuff, extending unemployment benefits to lazy bums over and over again, for people who don't even look for work anymore. Has that lifted people out of poverty? No way. In fact, the poverty level under Obama has broken a 50-year record. 50 years of progressive social policies, and we have more poor, not fewer poor. Johnson promised that his progressive administration would be efficient, honest, and frugal. Has that happened? Efficient, honest, and frugal? Do I need to even discuss this? To call the Obama administration any of these things is to insult the English language. Words would have no meaning anymore. Now, if you're listening to the radio right now and you think this sounds to you like a rant against immigrants, you're dead wrong. You're also a progressive, and you cannot be helped. You should move along, because liberalism is a mental disorder that prohibits rational, logical thinking. But if this topic is something you think we should have a debate on, then you're not a Republican or a Democrat. You're not a liberal or a progressive. You're an independent thinker like Michael Savage. 855-400-SAVAGE. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Jalisco, Jalisco, pertenes to Novia, me Guadalajara, muchacha bonita, la perlas masra, en todo Jalisco es me Guadalajara.
That's a voice from the past. He's, of course, gone on to his reward. That's none other than Ted Kennedy, may God rest his soul. He's gone from Johnny Walker Red to Johnny Walker Dead, but he was not a very good singer, you know. But he knew how to move a crowd. He knew how to move a crowd from the districts of Boston with his people to the districts of Boston with other people. He was quite a guy, quite a guy he was. So now let's listen to a little LBJ all the way, the man who got us into Vietnam. Hey, hey, ho, ho, LBJ. How many did you kill today, or whatever it was? Here's the man who gave us the war on poverty, which has decimated the poor in America. It's the reverse of what they wanted. Hey, we'd all like to see the poor lifted up by the bootstraps, wouldn't we? But it didn't work. You know, I remember when I was a struggling graduate student, I wanted a grant from a very wealthy man from, he was from Hong Kong, one of the wealthiest men on earth. He was very interested in botany at the time. And he came through the city I was living in, and I was introduced to him. I'm talking billionaire when their billionaires were billionaires. When a billionaire was still a billionaire, not today. That's when a billion really mattered. He really was one of the big old families going back a long time. But he happened to have an interest in medicinal plants. I met with him, and I asked him for a grant. And he looked at me very kindly, and he said, I'd rather give a person a fishing rod rather than a fish. I didn't quite understand what he meant at the time. What he meant was he didn't believe in giving anyone a handout for a grant to go do their research. He came up with another plan. It didn't come to very much, but that's when I learned there's no such thing as a free lunch. And the faster America moves back to its origins as a nation of hardworking people, whether they be corporate slime taking corporate, welfare, tax dodgers like the corporations I mentioned, who should be nailed to a cross as far as I'm concerned, They should be nailed to a cross. And all of that money, if it was collected. You know, if Obama, this is the thing about Obama that you don't understand that riles me. If he was truly a progressive leftist and an honest one, and he said, you know, what's fair is fair. We're going to go after all of the big companies, even if they supported me, and we're going to make them pay their taxes retroactive to the day I began. You know what? I'd say, all right, at least he's an honest progressive. But there's no such thing as an honest progressive. That's like asking for an honest criminal. That's like asking for a, well, okay, you do the analogies yourself. It's that simple. 30 days to a more powerful savage. 855-407-282. Jalisco, 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 Jalisco. Do we have LBJ going into Christie just for a little breather here? Let's have an LBJer.
And this administration today, here and now, declares unconditional war on poverty in America.
I pledge a progressive administration which is efficient and honest and frugal.
Some will exceed beyond anyone's expectations and some not. But our job, I believe, as a government is to give every one of these children who we have already invested hundreds
children.
Of thousands of dollars in an
it's
opportunity to maximize that investment for their own benefit, for the benefit of their families.
We get the picture.
The
it's a continuation of progressivism under Christie. Christie paints himself as a Republican. He is not. He's a progressive. Take the party name away from it. He's just a progressive. It's that simple. So if you want more poverty, you want more social disorder, you will have it by granting amnesty, whether it be to the Dreamer core of the illegals or the 30 to 50 million illegals and all of their brethren in all of the third world countries. So it's a very important subject. It cannot be left to the politicians. You may say, well, what can we do? Their ratings are as low as possible. 11% of Americans like the job that Congress is doing, so they don't care. They say, what can you do to us? You can't do anything to us. Do you think they care what you think? When do you think they began caring about what you think? When? When do they care what you think? So you say, well, then we're powerless. What should we do? Well, I guess you could just buy their lies about marijuana and go and smoke more dope and think that you're free. And the more you say you're free, the louder I hear your chains rattling. So here we are. Now let's take the calls. I haven't taken one yet. 855-407-282. Let's begin on WJR. We're getting swamped, by the way, with the new show, with new markets that I have been in, but at different times. And, you know, JR is one of the crowns in the cumulus, one of the jewels in the cumulus crown. I almost did a dyslexia job. It's one of the jewels in the cumulus crown. Big, powerful station in Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh is one of my natural markets. WJR, Eric, welcome to the show. Go ahead, please. I think I hung up on him. That's my mistake. Hi, Eric. What's on your mind?
I'll get straight to the point, Dr. Savage. I was telling your gentleman who answered the phone, back in 2006, I was hit on my motorcycle in Hollywood, Florida, by an illegal immigrant, not a Mexican, by the way. She was of Haitian descent. It was a felony hit and run. She fled the scene of the crime. I was lucky enough to have a person in a vehicle chase her down. Police pulled her over. They let her go at the scene on her own recognizance. This is the second time she got caught driving without a license. I, on the other hand, wasn't able to leave the scene because I was taken by ambulance to a local hospital, Memorial Hospital in Hollywood, Florida. I had shattered both my wrists, and I have some ongoing back problems 8 years later in regard to herniated discs from it as well. At the time, I lost my job. If you could imagine being an above-elbow cast for 4 months at a time, you pretty much can't do anything. So it changed my life completely. Point being, illegal immigration is not a victimless crime. I'm living proof. I went in to my local Social Security office. I have a military history dating back to the Civil War in my family that's verifiable. We are producing members of America for over 150 years. But yet when I went into my Social Security Administration office to apply for temporary Social Security disability that might be able to get some Medicaid so my credit report didn't get destroyed with all the medical bills that were about to be piled onto it because they sure as hell weren't going to her, I was told to my face that I was the wrong color and I wasn't pregnant.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's a shame you didn't have a tape record, you know, a hidden mic. So who are you going to take? Who would you take it to anyway? Someone in Eric Holder's Justice Department? Well, Eric, this has been going on quite a long time, and I thank you for, you know, giving your voice to the voiceless here on the Savage Nation. This is just one of millions of such stories. You know, it's that simple. Now, this is the caller segment right now, so I'm going to go to another caller right now. And I want to go to New York City right now on WABC. Martin, welcome to the program. Your point, please.
Hey. Michael, I'm not ready to give up the identity of this country. I want to live in the country that I was born in. I don't want to live in somebody else's country. Can you imagine China letting another population come into China that's going to be more populated than Chinese and give their identity up to a different group of people?
All right, let me answer that in a more global picture. And I understand China's not America, but America has always been a melting pot. But as I have said over the years, we've gone from a melting pot to a chamber pot. And there's a big difference between a melting pot that assimilates people who want to be assimilated and people who hate the country, hate the flag, hate the language, hate the culture, hate the history, and want to live in their own little subcultures. That should not be permitted. It's that simple. But let's be realists about it. If you go to areas of New York City where you're from, you've got Chinatown. People have been there quite a long time. All the signs are in Chinese, aren't they?
I don't have a problem with
population. All right, well, wait a minute. So, but there's an unassimilated population, and yet the mass of Chinese Americans have assimilated. So that's one point. There's always going to be, you know, some kind of insular community amongst immigrant groups. In the New York of my boyhood, when it was still primarily a Jewish slum, the Lower East Side of New York, many stores had only Yiddish signs for the Jewish population. Italy, Little Italy, certainly not true anymore, but for a long time the shopkeepers spoke Italian, very poor English. The signs were in Italian in the window. They had Italian flags. Somehow most Italian Americans became assimilated. So there's always that hope, and of course that's what the progressives will hold out and say, well, we've always been a melting pot, they're eventually going to assimilate. It's not true, though, with this group. And I can tell you why it's not true, because there's no incentive to become an American. That's number one. If you give them a fish rather than a fishing rod, they're not going to become Americans. You've got to give them a fishing rod, which is a literacy test, an English test, a citizenship test, etc. In other words, if you want to live in a country, why are we having them vote in 16 languages? Do you know that in San Francisco, the ballot has been so perverted that it's now in 16 languages? Why do you suppose they did that? So that the Democrat socialist criminal machine that runs San Francisco continuously gets reelected on the backs of illegal aliens. They know that the people know that that they're pulling a racket on everybody. But they get the votes by putting them in 16 languages. How is that possible in a nation like this? Huh? 855-400-7282. It's the Savage Nation. Let's take a quick call out of Reno, Nevada. Robert, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Yes, the Civil Conservation Corps. My stepfather and my father were both...
Wait, hold on. How did we jump from what I'm talking about to the CCC?
Yes. If you don't.
I asked you, wait, you're not making sense. How did we go from illegal aliens to the Civilian Conservation Corps?
Well, we don't want illegal aliens in there. We want Americans in there, legal Americans.
Right, but I was not talking about the CCC, so what makes you bring up that topic, Robert?
Working for me when I worked in Denver, and they didn't get here by crossing the border. They got here by ship. They dropped off up in Portland, Oregon, and then they traveled around the United States.
Robert, you know, we're off base here. Let me see. Can he hear me, Robert?
Yeah, I got it.
Why are we talking about the CCC camps? I don't understand it.
It's something America needs now is people back to work. That'll give the people who are unemployed a place to live.
I see. Okay. I see how it fits into the unemployment story. Well, I actually will tell you that the CCC camps did work because men in my father's generation worked in them. They were the hardest men I ever met. And they told me the stories of those camps. So not all government programs are bad, Robert. Let's be very clear.
Right.
No, I think you're confusing me with some of the doctrinaire so-called conservatives who oppose any government programs, and I think that they're not living in the real world. Of course the CCC camps worked for the unemployed poor. I know that. And so did, by the way, patronage jobs in New York. If it wasn't for them, my father wouldn't have had a job in the Great Depression. He got a job for some low-level... politician. He became his driver. I don't know how he got it to this day. He didn't know any politicians. They gave this poor kid a job driving some politician around. Well, enabled him to put bread on the table. So, yeah, there's a place for a government job, but there's no place for a government handout. That's what I'm saying. The streets are dirty. The streets are broken. Why don't you have them fix the potholes? Do you know that the infrastructure can be fixed by these bums on welfare? You want a welfare check? Give them a fish. Not, you know, give them a fishing rod. Tell them to go fix the potholes and they'll get welfare checks. So not all government programs are to be avoided. I agree with you on that. 855-407-2832. Now, of course, let's not go into what the people who don't really understand the picture will say. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. So before we take the next segue to the next thing, I want to play Representative Paul Brown. His last name is Broun, like Eva, where he says he's a Republican from Georgia, and he says Democrats need illegal aliens to win in Georgia. Listen to clip three.
It only helps the Democrats if we legalize all these illegal aliens in this country who the Democrats want to put on federal welfare programs, and actually they are on federal welfare programs today. The Democrats want to make them all dependent upon the federal government so they can continue their radical big government agenda. They want to get people so that they're looking for bigger and bigger government.
Right. Si se puede, I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Nation of immigrants. We must remember that the blood of immigrants flows through all of our veins. I want to join my colleague thank the president for enabling us to gather here.
Well, it's 2014 and we haven't heard from the Bugs Bunny of American politics, Nancy Pelosi. We don't know if she's still on vacation. We cannot wait for her first appearance or reappearance on the national stage. It's always good for a laugh. I loved her speech when she gave it, saying that the illegal immigrants make America more American. Okay. Let's see if we can come up with some parallels to that. How about we've gone from the Great Society to the Hate Society in one generation? Does that work? 855-400-7282 is the Savage Nation. We're almost through hour one. By the way, I apologize to my audience. WJR is in Detroit. I really apologize. I really apologize. It's not Pittsburgh. It's Detroit. Big error. But, okay, see, I'm one of these guys who admits when I'm wrong. That was wrong. My timing is off with the new show. I mean, 12 to 3 on the West Coast. My God, it's like the middle of the night for me. And the eating, there's no lunch, there's just a late breakfast, and I just ate chocolate. Now I'm about to have a coffee. I don't know what to do when. I'm trying to reestablish my wiring. So I'm tired all the time, and then I'm not tired when I should go to sleep at night. I don't know what this is. It's radio. It's live radio. You know, I moved down 6 hours in time, and it's wonderful. When the show's over, the sun is still out. I feel like the polar ice caps melted and the earth tilted. You know, it's like constantly light out. But it's wonderful. I can actually have dinner now, but there's nothing to have in the Bay Area. But I can still have it if I wish. You know, we're talking about why I oppose amnesty, and I've given you my reasons. And unfortunately now we see that the entire wobbly progressive Republican establishment is in favor with the Dems of amnesty for the 50 million illegals. They could care less what it does to our borders, language, and culture. All they know is they're answering to their masters. The masters are the giant corporations that live off sweat labor at the lowest possible rate. So that's it. I mean, we all love hardworking people. We all do. I respect it. I'm a working man. You see what I have for you? Look at that. Those of you who are my P1s, remember this from the old days? I'm closing every hour now with the old train. Even though I'm back in about 8 minutes, I'm closing every hour with the train tracks. Remember I wrote my autobiography called Train Tracks based on that sound? Yeah, it's a nice sound. Well, all aboard for the next hour. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. Right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And this administration today, here and now, declares unconditional war on poverty in America.
We are by and large a nation of immigrants. We must remember that the blood of immigrants flows through all of our veins.
I want to join my colleague who mentioned, thank the president for enabling us to gather here.
That's all, folks. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Yep, we're talking about amnesty for illegals, which is in the air. Christie the wobbly, Christie the progressive, Christie the Democrat has come out today with his most sincere delivery, saying that the dreamers deserve lower tuition, for example, than your child. The dreamers deserve affirmative action scholarships, not your child. The dreamers are certainly the first-class citizens, not your child. They have no dreams. So in other words, your child should have no dreams, while the illegal alien's child should have all the dreams, is what they're basically saying. Make no mistake about it. You see, you don't understand something. It's a zero-sum game. For every student who is not qualified, who's granted an admission to a position he doesn't deserve, and for every student who's granted a scholarship that he didn't really earn, there's someone who doesn't get one, even though he earned it. Well, she earned it. See, there's not an unlimited number of positions nor scholarships. So it works out that your child's being targeted for extinction. They may not tell you that, but rest in peace. And you can rest assured that your child's future will rest in peace in their hands, I can guarantee you. So look, I, in the first hour here on the Savage Nation, Infidels, laid out the reasons I oppose amnesty. I've declared that we've gone from the Great Society to the Hate Society in one generation as a result of progressive policies put in place by LBJ. And if you missed it, you missed it. In this hour, I want to continue talking about that, but I want to introduce another topic, which are health-related, flu shot dangers, and also the dangers of marijuana, because I'm not going to roll over to the propaganda. Marijuana may be legal, but is it safe? A new article came out today which confirms what I've been telling you. I mean, I don't have to be a genius. Just Google it. Toxins in marijuana. What can I tell you? It's poison. You're giving yourself lung cancer and you're making yourself stupid. Marijuana may have medicinal uses, but there are long-term health effects of marijuana use. In fact, in the short term, it can cause paranoid events in many individuals. Moreover, there's a weakened immune response from people who smoke the drug. There's impaired lung function, slowed reaction time, increased appetite. You have to understand that long-term use of Mary Jane will give you impaired thinking, memory problems, panic attacks, and other psychological issues. Laugh if you will. Don't care if you laugh. Just know the facts. Can you overdose from marijuana? No, not directly. Absolutely not. Not the same way you can overdose from heroin. However, the concentration of tetrahydrocannabinol in seized samples of illegal marijuana has been increasing over the past 30 years, with the average potency being more than, let's say, quadruple that of your parents' generation. Is it addictive? 100%. Marijuana is extremely addictive. Ask those who've tried to kick it, especially those who started at a young age. It's going to decimate an entire generation. It is the gateway drug to other drugs. And the fact of the matter is, right now it's being sold as mother's milk, but it will destroy an entire generation for sure, as I'm sitting here. Now let's take some calls on all of these topics right here on the program. I'd really rather not talk about marijuana. I'll tell you why. What I told you are the medical facts. The potheads are going to call and say it's wonderful, it's good for them, they could outrun me, they could outdo me, this more money, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't matter what they say. The fact of the matter is marijuana is toxic. Now let's move on. WABC, John, you're the first up this hour. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Michael. What I find perplexing is that I haven't heard one politician or any of their fraudulent Mother Teresa followers, none of them mentioned that. All these low-paying jobs are still going to be below the poverty level, well below the poverty level, so they still won't be getting, they won't, still won't have to pay taxes. They'll still be getting welfare. They'll still be getting public housing, and they'll still be getting food stamps. So
right, here's the thing. We all see the hardworking immigrant. We're not blind. We see it. We respect them. However, at home, there's a wife that is not working with many children who are using social services without paying for them. So that's the big picture. That guy may be working for $12 an hour or less, but the overall cost to America may be $40 an hour in terms of social services. You're 100% right. And there's no taxes being paid. You know, KSFO, San Francisco, Sisser. San Francisco, I can't even say the name anymore. St. Francis. I can't, I've botched it for so many years. San Francisco, San Fran, this-o, that-so, lasso. Petri, KSFO, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, you are hitting the nail on the head today. You're spot on. I mean, this is one of those shows when you ask what are some of your best shows you did. That first hour was just on the money, on the spot, so much. Oh, gosh. Talking about the immigration, I mean, amnesty. They want to call it immigration reform, which is the big lie, because amnesty is all they're really after. I mean,
that's absolutely, that's like calling it heroin reform and giving a junk to the junkies.
You know, it's just the next thing in line after the Obamacare lies and all the other lies. Well, this is it. Let's jump on the bandwagon, next in line, the next lie that we can fool the citizens on.
Petri, how do you feel about Chris Christie coming out in favor of amnesty for the Dreamers?
Oh my gosh, I want to vomit. I'm sick. I'm an immigrant son just like you, and, you know, to hear that type of stuff, I think about my father. You know, when he got laid off and had troubles, he actually went back to Europe to find work there, you know, instead of staying here on the system and leeching on some, you know, government programs. You know, he found work elsewhere and actually left the country for a while. And,
well, they don't have to leave the country to find work. They can just collect welfare, Social Security, SDSI. They can scam the system. They can get public housing. They can get Section 8 housing. They get free legal, free medical. Why would they leave the country and go back to a hellhole? Where is the incentive to learn English if they can vote in any language as many times as they want? Where is the incentive to learn our traditions and our cultures if it's not required? There is none. So Christie must be opposed, as so true for the Republicans as well. Petri, thank you. I don't have white guilt. Being an immigrant son who has been shafted by society many times, I do not have white guilt. My grandfather was an immigrant. My father was an immigrant. They worked very hard. They never took a dime in welfare. I have no white guilt. We never exploited anybody. So I have no guilt whatsoever. If you do, that's your problem. Dallas, Texas, WBAP. Leroy, welcome to the program from Texas. What's on your mind, Leroy?
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here on WBAP. Thank you for your wisdom and knowledge that you bring to the airways here.
But thank you.
You mentioned about the war on poverty and the black family, and, you know, that just really it hit a nerve, because no group of Americans, in my opinion, have experienced the devastating effects of the so-called war on poverty than black Americans. Black families have been destroyed on a mass level. More black.
Let me give the fact out again, Leroy. Until 1965, 82% of black households had both a mother and a father in the home, about equal to that of white families, even higher, by the way. After the war on poverty, after 1965, when Big Daddy took over the home and became the provider in the form of progressive government, the presence of black fathers in the home began a precipitous decline. Today, the American black out-of-wedlock birth rate is 69%. How is it that the Democrats don't understand that?
Well, I think they understand that very well. The thing is black Americans are no longer working for a living. We're voting for a living now. Vote and keep those people in office, we'll continue to get the check in the mailbox. And I think that's exactly what they want to happen.
So a dependent class, in other words, is what they've created and what they live on. Okay, but now they're going to bring in an entire class of people, tens of millions, we don't know the number, that's going to sink the ship altogether. Won't it affect the African-American community, the poorer elements of the African-American community, even the, more so than the white community?
Well, absolutely, but you gotta also keep in mind that, you know, abortion is the number one killer in the black family, and the black family, the black population is shrinking, and so we have to be replaced. Those voters have to be replaced. And
wow, oh, that's really, what you just said is something I never thought of. That's frightening. They're that cynical, they say, well, the future's with the Hispanics because they have more children than the blacks, so let's go with them. Is that what that's about? It's that naked, in your opinion?
Look, we have more blacks die from abortion than from AIDS, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, black-on-black crime, all of those combined. We have dropped below the fertility replacement rate. They see what's happening. And this happened because they have targeted the black community with abortion. But because the population is shrinking, those voters, that voting block is shrinking. And it appears that polls are showing that Hispanic voters are turning out at a higher rate to vote than the black population, plus it's shrinking. So it's only the smart thing to do to continue their agenda.
Wow. How do you know all of this? Where'd you study it?
Well, I'm a 32-year-old community activist, and I work with a research firm, and this is something that I've become very passionate about as I continue to daily study these things.
So this is not the first time you've heard the Savage Nation in Texas, is it?
This is my very first time. I heard that you were coming. I went online about a month ago. I subscribed to your daily news, and I was very excited to get you on WBAP. So
that's amazing. Well, yeah, it's like an overnight success after 20 years in the business. In the business, I love being on BAP. It's a powerful signal in Dallas. And look, Leroy, let's face it. There aren't too many people in your group that think the way you do. Let's put it to you that way.
You're absolutely right, and I'm trying to change that. I have two young boys that are coming up, and I want to...
God, that, you know, that's a topic. I often think about that. What if I were a young black father who was in the family, staying home, working, college graduate, and I had two young kids? How the heck would I raise them in this society? What a challenge that must be.
It is. It's absolutely terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. When I think about what Ronald Reagan talked about when he mentioned that freedom is not passed alone in the bloodline, and one day if we don't continue to defend it and protect it, that one day we'll be telling our children about, you know, the times when there was freedom and liberty in America. That is the reality that I'm facing.
Jeez. Well, all I can say is, you know, keep your nose to the grindstone. It'll pay off. There's one rule in raising children, and I'm sure people have told it to you, Leroy. When I had my first child, I didn't know how to raise a child. I had no idea. I never read a book. My father had died. My mother, you know, was a great woman, but I didn't ask her. I asked a few relatives. You know what they all said to me? All you got to do is give your children love, and they'll turn out okay. I think it's true. But there's a lot more to it than that. But you got to be there for them all the time. You got to be home. You got to be there for them. You got to catch them when they fall off the road. You got to be the, you know, the guardrails around roads. Of course, we all know them. The father is like the guardrail on a highway that's curving and precipitous. You know, that's all you can be, is it be a guardrail at a certain point. We'll talk about that another time. I don't want to get into that right now because a lot of people think I'm just preaching. But you know what? I think I have the right to talk about it. Thank you. Let me send you a copy of Trickle Up Poverty, my latest paperback out. Trickle Up Poverty. Stay on the line. Free copy coming out to you. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, I've given you my arguments against amnesty today, and I've told you how it's a continuation of the Great Society. It's to create a perennial underclass, simply for the betterment of those who want cheap labor approaching that of slave labor. And, of course, a perennial socialist democrat government, bigger and bigger and bigger. 50 years ago today, I remind you, President Johnson gave a State of the Union speech in which he and the Democrats, who had done everything they could to block the advancement of blacks during the years before it, said that they're going to start helping blacks. And that was the birth of the modern progressive movement known as the Great Society. the Great Society. On that day, Johnson declared unconditional war on poverty in America. Well, it sounds good, but has it worked? The answer is no. No, you need to give people a fishing rod, not a fish. That's an old adage. You want to help the poor? Hey, I'm all for it. Give them a fishing rod. Tell them to go out to fish. Don't give them the fish or they'll stay home. And they will never learn to fish. In fact, the poverty level under the present president, Obama, has broken a 50-year record. 50 years of progressive social policies, and we have more poor, not fewer poor. Johnson said that the progressive administration would be efficient, honest, and frugal. No. Do I have to discuss that? Is social programming ruining America? What is more effective, giving a man a fish or teaching him how to fish for himself with a fishing rod? Is there a way back? Can we stop the Republicans from selling us out? 855-400-SAVAGE is the phone number. Louisville, Denise, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. Thank you.
Go ahead.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the lie that's being perpetuated continuously that, quote, Americans won't do the job, number one.
Yeah.
A little bit different with older people versus the young kids. But I can tell you that as a kid, pretty much all of us either started out at a restaurant doing dishes or bussing tables or something, or mowing lawns or helping out landscaping during the summer when we were in high school.
Right.
And today, the kids don't want to do it because they're the only one there who speaks English. Why would they want to go work there?
Wow.
Once the team gets one Hispanic on a crew, then the next time they need somebody, they never try to look for employees anymore. It's not that they won't work. It's that they tell, you know, Manuel says Gutierrez will work, and his uncle, brother, cousin, of which none are, you know, they'll work. So they just end up, you know, reproducing without the employer ever trying to find, you know, an American worker.
Well, it's a serious problem, and I don't know how to turn it around other than first we got to talk about it. Everything starts with an idea. Let me explain something. I am throwing a pebble in a calm pond. It's not calm anymore. I started talking about this in 1994. So don't think I'm a Johnny-come-lately. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation on this and other topics right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hello, infidels. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. Welcome back to the new Savage Nation, new time, best stations in the country. Joining us now is one of the good guys. One of the really good guys, and that is Senator Inhofe of James Inhofe of Oklahoma, one of my favorite people. Senator, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Well, congratulations on the new Savage Nation. I'm very, very happy for you.
Well, you know, I don't give up very much like the people who built Oklahoma and the rest of America. We believe in hard work, Senator, and I want to just say two things. One, I don't want to throw us off, but I want to express the condolences of myself and my audience for what you have suffered in this last year.
Thank you very much.
So you're here to talk about the horrors and the lies of global warming, no doubt.
Yeah. Well, on what we've suffered, you keep in mind, I have a very, I don't know what people would do without a large family, but with 20 kids and grandkids, it was, that made the suffering easier.
Mm.
So thanks so much.
Well, I didn't mean to throw us off, but I can't help but not mention that, and pardon me for doing so if it upset the flow in any way. Look, the catastrophe called global warming is not a catastrophe. In fact, you know that better than anybody, but even MIT's Richard Lindzen, who is one of the great old-timers in climatology, says he's unalarmed about so-called global warming, and he's one of the biggest of them.
No, it's worse than that. He was... I have a book. I sent it to you some time ago, about 3 years ago, The Greatest Hoax, and it was all about global warming. I probably quote Richard Lindzen from MIT more than anyone else, and he's the one that said, it's bad enough to make the people think that a disaster is coming, but, and speaking of Gore, he said, but to do it for your own personal gain is even worse. Richard Lindzen has been great. I remember one time, you'd enjoy this, Michael, on the floor back when John Kerry had his old job. By the way, only two people voted against him. I was one of the two. But at that time he was saying, now you can't name any institution that will verify your figures as to what it would cost if we were to do something like cap and trade. And I said, yeah, there's a little institution called MIT in your state of Massachusetts. And then I read all that stuff that they said. You see, what people don't remember, way back in the beginning of this thing, I was the only bad guy, and that was when everyone assumed that the CO2 was bringing the world to an end and global warming was coming, we're all going to die and all this. Well, I assumed it must be true until I found out what it would cost to have it, to address it. And that figure, Michael, has not changed. It ranges between $300 and $400 billion a year. Well, we've gone all the way through. We've won this battle. They don't have the votes to do anything. They never will. And now the president's trying to do through regulation what he couldn't do through legislation.
Didn't he bring in that political operative, whoever, I forget his name, to try and force the global warming scam onto the American people's backs?
Well, of course, he had the whole IPCC. They're the ones that, if you're in my book, the largest chapter is one that goes back with the UN showing what the original motivation was for this, for the whole idea of global warming. But what people nowadays don't understand, and every time I talk to crowds, they're all shocked to find out that same figure of $300 to $400 billion a year that would have been the cost of cap and trade legislation is the same as what this guy is trying to do through regulations. Now,
but it's all based on fraudulent lies and fudging the data, compromised political pressure, data fudging, out and out guesswork, unwarranted alarmism. And some of the best scientists in the country are now agreeing with you.
Oh, they were. In fact, they started way back when this originated with the Kyoto Treaty. Remember when...
Yes. Gore, no, I do. I do remember that, sure.
They didn't have the votes. But that's when they decided, well, if we're not going to do it and join this treaty, we will do it through legislation. And that's when we discovered what it would cost. It was at that point. Now, we're talking about 12 years ago, Michael, and I remember talking to you about it that long ago, too. That's when we found out that even if we had done this, there is no – well, you remember Lisa Jackson, who was the director of the EPA.
Oh, yeah, real genius. Yes, she was selected because of her great discoveries in science.
$400 billion. Is this going to lower the emissions of CO2? And she said no, because this only applies to the United States. So anyway.
You know, Senator, on a comedic note, I love the bugaboo of CO2. First of all, plant life needs it to grow, which is why we have such productivity around the world, is because of carbon dioxide. I mean, if we eliminated CO2, the plants would die. That's in the big picture. But secondly, and this is my personal joke, half of the alarmists coming out of New York City who grew up on seltzer, in seltzer bottles, would be deprived of their drink. There would be no seltzer if the CO2 stores were to be diminished.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, I have my way of playing with words.
But, yeah.
This is not a laughing matter. I mean, we know it's a fraud. The best scientists in the world understand that the science is not in. But wait, how's the irony right now, Senator Inhofe, of the global warming scammers getting trapped in the ice in the Antarctic, number one, a deep freeze hitting the United States of America, and they continue to march ahead with their agenda? I mean, that's crazy.
I've got the stuff now on what's been happening. This isn't just a single weather event, this cold that we're going through right now. You might remember, because we did an interview 3 years ago, when I had one of my families, my daughter and her family, six, were up here in Washington, trying to get back to go back to work. They couldn't do it because it was all snowed in. You remember that? And they built the very famous igloo. And that got not national attention, but international attention. And on top of the igloo, it's right outside the Library of Congress. They put a sign, honk if you want global warming. And that became, at that time, that was when things started really getting colder. Now we have documentation that we are going through this cycle that we've gone through for as long as I can remember. We started following this, Michael, way back in 1895. And then in 30-year cycles ever since then, started with cold, then we got to 1918, and it was a warming cycle. Then when 1945 came, that precipitated, that started a cold cycle, and yet that was the year that had the largest surge of CO2 right after World War II. So this is going along as it has in the past. God's still up there, and we're still going to have these.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, of course. What is President Obama going to be able to do this by fiat against the will of the people, common sense in Congress?
All right, you stop and think about what he's done so far. Utility Mac, that's put the coal business out of business. Boiler Mac, every manufacturer has a boiler. And now, by the way, Mac is a term that you've used before, but your audience needs to be reminded. That's maximum controllable technology. In other words, how much you can control in your emissions. And what he has done in these cases is put a mandate by the EPA that exceeds the technology that is there to cut the emissions. Now, those are things that he's already done, and they are costing, in terms of jobs, in millions and millions of dollars. But the crown jewel of all regulation is cap and trade. And that's what he's trying to do right now, all predicated on this assumption that we're all going to die because of the global warming coming.
Senator Inhofe, before you leave us, and the global warming fight that you've been fighting is the good fight, keep it up. I heard today that you actually tried in Congress to get a group of people to sign on to get my name off the list of those banned in Britain. Is that true? What happened? Is it true that a Democrat did sign on to it and then took his name off the list?
Yeah, I'd probably rather not use his name. Your producer knows his name. But I went to several at that time. And the only reason I brought that up is I know what you went through. We were trying to help. We did have a number of members that would join me on a letter. I ultimately sent the letter and signed it only by myself.
Oh, my God.
To UK, and I sent you a copy of it. But we had several who were going to be on it, and I was hitting the Democrats because they're always talking about how they want to be fair and love everybody and all that. This is your chance to do it. They agreed, yes, we'll join you, and then they backed down. So anyway, we tried.
So a Democrat said, sure, we're liberals, we believe in free speech, we'll help get Michael Savage off the abandoned Britain list, and then they took their name off for political reasons. Well, I'm real shocked by the hypocrisy. All I can say is thank God that we have...
happened in the Antarctic.
Thank God we have good guys like you in the Senate, Senator Inhofe. And again, I want to thank you for fighting the good fight on behalf of the global warming truth. And anytime you have anything new to tell the world, please think of the Savage Nation.
We need to talk about Iraq someday because that's right.
Oh, boy. Well, you know what? When we talk about the debacle called Iraq, you'll be first on the list.
Sounds good.
Thank you very much. Time is 44 minutes after the hour on the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-400-7282. Let's take some quick calls now on the illegal immigration issue. Jimmy on WABC, welcome to the program, Jimmy. What's on your mind tonight?
About the illegal immigration, our enemies. In fact, there's a woman, Frances Fox Pivens. She's a hardline communist revolutionary. She said, we're going to get the changes we want largely through minorities and immigration. Her name is Frances Fox Pivens. She also talked about collapsing America from within, collapsing our economic system. So these are not random events when you got this environmental movement, you got this immigration movement, because within all of that there's a common thread. The common thread is the communist movement. Most things happen in coalitions. You have manufacturers, you have churches that want illegal immigration. But the enemy within that is the driving force. The enemy, like I said, Frances Fox Pivens. If you Google Fox,
right, you can Google. You don't have to Google it. It's in my book, Trickle Up Poverty, on page 53, and I talk about Richard Andrew Cloward, rhymes with coward, and Frances Fox Piven, rhymes with driven. This is a husband and wife duo, lifelong members of the Democrat Socialist of America. The Cloward-Piven strategy, I wrote, it was advanced in their writings and teachings and centered on leveraging a manufactured crisis to advance the socialist agenda in America along with the redistribution of wealth. It's all in my book, which came out a few years ago. Believe me, I'm aware of them, Jimmy.
But you could hear people maybe sometimes need to actually hear her saying it. So if they Google...
Well, okay, yeah. Here's what she taught. Make a crisis. Make it publicly visible. Make sure it involves disrupting some institutional or societal sector. Capitalize on the social unrest it produces. And what I wrote was this. In the, here's a perfect example. In the middle of the healthcare cyclone, when the national debate had reached a fever pitch, Obama started talking about the illegal immigration issue. Why? He wanted to create a thunderstorm to go along with the healthcare cyclone in order to really rock the boat and knock the opponents of his socialist healthcare plan off their feet. I know all of this, Jimmy, and I thank you very much for reminding you about the Cloward-Piven strategy, which is all clearly documented in Trickle-Up Poverty by Michael Savage. So there's nothing new under the sun. The problem is most voters in America are, as they say, the uneducated, the low-information voter, as some have called them, or the no-information voter. I would hazard that my dog, Teddy, who has loyally sat at my feet for these many years in radio, he's only 10 and a half, he's rarely missed a show except on his grooming days. I would say Teddy has more information than the average American voter. It's 46 minutes after the hour. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. As we end, move into the end of this hour, I want to tell you something. Many of you are new listeners to my show. I want you to go out to a bookstore and look for my paperback book, Michael Savage Train Tracks, because it's all of my personal stories, the best ones I've ever told on radio. But I'm going to read you a two-pager. It says, I really was poor. At my recent birthday party, my son got up to give a little speech about his dad, and he mentioned something intriguing. Here's what he said. He said, when my dad told me that he was so poor when he was young that he actually wore a dead man's pants, I thought he was just exaggerating, as I often think Savage does. But tonight before the party, he showed me childhood pictures that were just sent to him from relatives for this book. I was astounded to see Michael Savage actually wearing pants, hand-me-downs, five times too large, cut off at the knee. I couldn't believe his family was actually that poor, close quote. Well, that's the end of that quote. In reviewing the photographs in this book, Train Tracks, you will see that exact picture, me standing beneath my aunt, straddled by my sister and my cousin, wearing dead man's pants. Every word that you read in this book, Train Tracks, is as true as that photograph. In going through photographs for this book, I found pictures of many of the men that I write about, the gambler, the leather man, the uncle who was a Democratic Party operative. What strikes me is that they were all very ordinary-looking men. You would never pick them out of a crowd and think they were anything special. And that's just the point of this book, which is that in the ordinary, there is the extraordinary. Now, look, whether it is that men were more dynamic in those days or that I saw the dynamism in their lives is for anyone to guess. I don't know. Are men still like that? There is a movie called The Naked City where it is said, quote, there are 8 million stories in The Naked City. This has been one of them. I was always fascinated by that as a young boy because it showed me that every individual person walking the streets had a story, if only you could find that story. And all of my life, I found this to be true. That, of course, every human in their destiny and their journey through life is actually weaving a story. It's just that most of us don't even realize we are unique or weaving a story. Or is it that the times have made so many of us homogenous? Have we become just one massive group of individuals in a sort of socialist hive? Well, whatever the case may be, Train Tracks contains the stories of ordinary men and women, each of whom was extraordinary. And if you turn to the center of Train Tracks, there's some great stories in there, by the way, and I'm not going to give you the out boy in the river, the porch, cars, food, nightclub repellers, slum dialect, how I got into radio, boy in the basement, Higuera from New York, an American gangster in Spain, setting a peanut man on fire, pennies for Beethoven, the speculator in a garden of numbers, my silent brother, the electric blue saddle-stitched pants, the fly in the tuna, tough high school geometry teacher who had two fingers on his right hand, happy and sad cufflinks, I love that one, Woodchuck Bill, Fat Pat, and Tippy the Dog, Dead Man's Pants, Sam the Butcher, Coney Island Wax Figures, Louie and his Crazed Monkey, End of Day Glass, and so on and so forth. If you look at the pictures that I selected, oh, here comes the train. I got to get aboard. I got to get aboard very soon. But I named my sort of autobiographical collection of short stories for this soundbite from my early days in radio. And it begins with the man who started it all, my grandfather Sam, in front of his own tailor shop at 548 East 13th Street, New York City. Train tracks everywhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Jalisco, Jalisco, Jalisco. To Tenes, to Novia, me Guadalajara. Muchacha bonita, la perla.
This is from the psychopathic liberal Billboard 500 top hits of the century. It is from the Kennedy guy singing Jalisco. But it gets better than that. Do you know what just happened? Do you know what this radical communist administration just did? Many of you say, oh, come on, he's not a communist. Don't be stupid. He's not a radical. Well, let me ask you a question. If I tell you, which is true, that Obama just nominated a cop killer advocate to head the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division, you'd say it can't be true. I'll read it to you. In 1982, former Black Panther Mumia Abu-Jamal was convicted of murdering Philadelphia police officer Daniel Faulkner. Abu-Jamal never denied shooting the cop in the face as he lay on the ground begging for his life. Jamal and his radical communist scum supporters are still unapologetic for killing the policeman. One of those loudest unapologetic supporters is former NAACP legal defense official Debo P. Adebile, who has worked tirelessly to free guilty police killer Abu Jamal from prison. Well, President Obama, the radical communist, has nominated Mr. Adebile to head the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division as an assistant attorney general to replace radical Tom Perez, who is now the Secretary of Labor. You know and I know that this guy will carry out the radical racial agenda of Obama and Holder with the weight of the United States government behind him. You should be sickened by this, but I'm not surprised by it. It fits right in with the rest of the gang that took over the country, right? These are the people who are spying on you, these are the people who are spiting you, and these are the people who have big surprises in order for you. Okay? This is the world you're living in. And yet the liberals are in denial. They don't even understand what's going on, or do they support him? I don't know. Maybe they support him. Well, today thus far on the program, we've been talking about other topics. Obama and Congress give one more push for amnesty for illegal aliens. And we prove that today by playing some sound of Chris Christie, the latest. What should I say about him? We know who he is. He's not a Republican nor a Democrat. He's out for himself and his own political advancement. That's pretty clear. We don't know what he stands for other than himself. So let's listen to clip one, Chris Christie, about granting the children of illegal aliens special benefits.
The fact is that the taxpayers of this state have made an enormous investment in these young people. And the question is, do we want to maximize our investment through giving them nothing more than an opportunity? There's no guarantee of success here. And because the DREAM Act has been signed, it does not mean that every student who now has the opportunity to go to college will succeed. Some will, some won't.
All right. First of all, it's a fallacious argument, which he should know. He's a brilliant prosecutor. He knows that's a fallacious argument. That's okay, he said, we made an enormous investment in these young people, so do you want to maximize our investment? What does that mean? What about the children in America who are here legally? Why don't you make an investment in them? Why are you doubling down on the people who shouldn't have been here to begin with? But let's go on to something new right now. You've heard all of that. You haven't heard this. Remember yesterday I started to tell you the story from New York City, the big story, that there was a scam of some police and some firemen claiming disability, mental problems, to collect disability for many, many years, millions of dollars. Well, here is the actual press conference sound. Here is the New York City District Attorney, Cyrus Vance, telling you in clip number 17 how the doctors taught firemen and police how to fail tests. Listen.
Specifically, they instructed them on how to intentionally fail memory tests, how to dress when they presented themselves, and how to present their demeanor. The managers then helped the applicants fill out necessary paperwork to SSA.
Okay. Now we hear police commissioner, the new police commissioner, William Bratton, explaining his position on this embarrassment in clip 18.
As a New Yorker, as a U.S. citizen, I can only express disgust at the actions of the individuals involved in this scheme, particularly the 72 former members of the New York City Police Department who have certainly disgraced themselves, embarrassed their families with their abuse of this system.
Right, and the psychiatrist should be thrown in prison altogether. But that's a big story, but it goes on across the country. There's other sound I don't want to, you know, miss, because this is a good time for me to get through all of the great sound that we put together for you. These guys work from 6 o'clock in the morning. Listen to what we have now. In the following clip, in clip 10, we have Rudolph Giuliani slamming the new mayor of New York, who really sees things as they are, in clip 10. Neil, please fire away.
I'm getting really annoyed at this concept of progressive. There's absolutely nothing progressive in this class warfare stuff. It's retrogressive. Every single policy that they're talking about is a policy that has failed several times historically, going back 130, 140 years. We're talking about basically Marxist ideas.
Good for Giuliani. Good for Giuliani. I'm glad he's still out there slugging for us. Now, here's a crazy one altogether on the Savage Nation, and you can join in the conversation at any time by calling 855-400-7282. Are you ready for this? Here is Dennis Rotten, the lunatic, singing happy birthday to his best friend, the mass murderer, Kim Jong-un.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Now, the only one missing from the party was Madeleine Halfbright. Madeleine Albright did the same thing, by the way, that Dennis Rodman is doing, but she did it with his father. She got away with it because she had big friends in the media. He's not getting away with it. You know, there's a racial element in this. You know that. If Madeleine Albright had gone over there and sang happy birthday, Mr. President, to Kim Jong-un, they probably would have applauded it. But because he's a black basketball player who wore a wedding dress and has rings in his nose and whatnot, they're suddenly seeing this for what it is. But now it gets even better. Here's McCain. This is the pot calling the kettle crazy. Here is McCain saying that Rodman is an idiot. He's a person of not great intellect. I mean, this is hilarious in clip 12.
I think he's an idiot. I think he's a person of not great intellect who doesn't understand that he really does provide propaganda for this very brutal, ruthless young man. Look, in one way, it's almost comic. But on the other side of it, it really does enhance his prestige with his people, and he's one of the, you know, the guy runs a gulag of 200,000 people, but it's full of unspeakable cruelty.
It's a shame that old McCain didn't say the same things about the Muslim Brotherhood and his friend Morsi in Egypt when he went over there. In fact, he did the opposite. Old McCain went over to Egypt after the people threw Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood out, and he had the nerve with Lindsey Graham to say to the people, you're stupid. You should keep the Muslim Brotherhood. You should keep our stooge Morsi in power, because that's what our boss Obama wants. But I guess McCain didn't see the fallacy of his own argument about Dennis Rodman, because in a way he did the same thing that Rodman did when he went over to Egypt. But okay, that's my job, is to put two and two together and come up with four, not seven. Now, moving down the list of great sound, this is actually a good thing to do now in hour three. We have to go back to something else that we missed. Oh, we got most of it used up. That's good, because the guys feel neglected if I don't use all of their great sound. They work from 6 in the morning, when I'm up, by the way, worrying about the show and getting up myself. Lyndon Baines Johnson, we have to go back to him, because on January 8th, 1964, where were you in 1964? On this very day in 1964, LBJ declared a war on poverty. I want you to listen to clips 13 and 14 back-to-back on the Savage Nation.
I especially ask all members of my own political faith in this election year to put your country ahead of your party and to always debate principles, never debate personality. I pledge a progressive administration which is efficient and honest and frugal.
Well, unfortunately, the war on poverty has yielded more poverty. and has decimated especially the African-American community. Because I want to remind you again that before the war on poverty, the rate of men and women in families in the African-American community was 85%. Today, 69% of young African-American children are born out of wedlock. That's a result of 50 years of giving people fish and not fishing rods. The war on poverty has been a disaster, and yet they're continuing the big lie now by telling us, by granting amnesty and giving such benefits that they may not really deserve but desire to the illegal aliens, they too will be lifted out of poverty. It's a lie. Listen to clips 15 and 16 now, because nothing is new under the sun.
Unfortunately, many Americans live on the outskirts of hope, some because of their poverty and some because of their color, and all too many because of both. Our task is to help replace their despair with opportunity. And this administration today, here and now, declares unconditional war on poverty in America.
That's good. It was very noble, and the liberals loved it. They had liberal guilt. They experimented now since then, and the results have been a devastation. And yet Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, Harry Reid, do I have to name all of them, continue on the road of disaster, the inevitable decline of America, if they continue with their progressivism. 855-400-7282. Let's take some callers now. Fred on WMAL, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mike. You're an intelligent man, and I agree with much of what you say, most of it. And I'd like to talk about one of those subjects, but I have to talk about something else, and that is your stand on global warming. I'm worried lest you lose some credibility. And if you lose credibility on one thing, it might drive away.
Sure. So how am I losing credibility if the top, one of the top people in the field from MIT says the same thing I'm saying?
No, here it is. You're saying that global warming is a hoax. And you know...
Well, no, I do know that there's been a slight rise in temperature, but you know better than I do, because you've studied this, I'm sure, that the rise has been almost minuscule.
Well, it's not so much that the rise has been very great. The problem is that the rise has been very fast. Yes, there are fluctuations in the temperature of the Earth over, you know, eons. That's true. But no...
Look, Fred, I know you're trying to be reasonable, and I want to make it quick. We all agree the temperature has increased since 1800, but it's increased by a very small amount. We're talking about tenths of a degree Celsius.
Well, we're talking about several tenths of a degree, and not since 1800, but more like since 1940, 1950.
Well, I'm actually quoting someone smarter than you and I on this, and that's MIT's Richard Lindzen.
All I can say is that there's no...
Let me quote him again. He's one of the leading climate scientists in the world. And he quote, I'm quoting him now, quote, we all agree the temperature has increased since 1800. There's a caveat, though. It's increased by a very small amount. We're talking about tenths of a degree Celsius. So, yeah, of course there's been a slight degree. The question is, what is causing it? And by the way, I'm not in favor of pollution, Fred. I've worked against it all my life. I've saved plants in the rainforest. I've done more than most of the diehards talking about it. So I'm against pollution, but let's not lie about the cause.
The cause is uncertain. I agree with that. But it's hard to find an explanation aside from the increase in greenhouse gases.
Well, Fred, let me quote Dr. Lindzen again. He said, 150 years of burning fossil fuels in large quantities has had a relatively minimal effect on the climate. By some measurements, there is now more CO2 in the atmosphere than there has been at any time in the past 15 million years. Yet, since the advent of the Industrial Revolution, the average global temperature has risen by at most 1 degree Celsius or 1.6 degrees Fahrenheit. So how would you answer that fact?
I'm unfamiliar with the amount of warming.
So I'm just giving you stuff that's written by him, one of the greatest climate scientists of all time. And he says, by the way, sea levels have risen slightly, but they've been doing so for roughly 20,000 years. Enjoy the cold, Fred. I hope that I don't lose any more credibility with you. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It's a fact that poverty level under Obama breaks a 50-year record. 50 years after President Johnson started a $20 trillion taxpayer-funded war on poverty, the overall percentage of impoverished people in the U.S. has declined only slightly, and the poor have even lost ground under the progressive President, Mr. Obama. Now let's take some calls on all the topics I've mentioned thus far on the program. Again, the phone number is 855-400-7282. Mark, thanks for holding on WABC. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good afternoon, Mike. Welcome to Days.
Yes, sir. So what's on your mind?
It's that metaphor of the fish in the fishing pole to show a much more sinister motive at work there. Like, for instance, it's one thing if I have a lot of fish and I want to share some with you. It's another thing if I say, I'm going to give you fish the rest of your life because you're not capable of learning how to fish.
So you think the war on poverty and this inequality rubbish is sort of a patronizing position, which is you're saying to the people, you can't help yourself, let the government help you?
To a degree. Maybe not 100%, but definitely to a degree.
Well, what do you do with all these poor who won't work? Let's be rationalists and pragmatists. How would you get the bums in New York City who are sitting around collecting checks, scamming the government to go to work? What would you do?
Well, you could start by cutting back the benefits, if not eliminating them altogether.
Cutting back the benefits, or you could say, here's what we're going to do. We're cutting your benefits back by 50%, and you could have an additional 25% of what you were getting, but you're going to start cleaning the streets. You're going to start filling the potholes. You're going to start being crossing guards. Whatever we need you to do, you're going to work for welfare. It's not such a radical idea. Bill Clinton tried it, didn't he?
Yeah, I know. And
yeah, I mean, work for welfare. What is wrong with that idea? It's an idea whose time has come all over again. That's what the Democrats were doing under Bill Clinton. By comparison to what's going on now under this administration, Bill Clinton is starting to look like a rock rib Republican. Isn't that a shame? It's the Savage Nation, be here or be nowhere. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. 855-400-7282. When I come back, we'll talk about all the other topics of the day right here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
And this administration today, here and now, declares unconditional war on poverty in America.
Some will exceed beyond anyone's expectations and some not. But our job, I believe, as a government is to give every one of these children who we have already invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in an opportunity to maximize that investment for their own benefit, for the benefit of their families, and for the benefit of our state and our country.
Now, why did I play LBJ and Christie in the same soundbite? Why did I link them? Because we've heard it all before. 50 years ago today, President Lyndon Baines Johnson gave a State of the Union speech on which he and the Demon Cats, who had until that point done everything humanly possible to oppose any manner of civil rights for blacks, including the filibuster of the Civil Rights Act by noted KKK member and longtime Democrat Robert Byrd, then he decided that it was time to stop oppressing blacks and, I'm quoting, helping them. That was the birth of the modern phase of the progressive movement, and was known as the Great Society. As I said to you at the outset, we have gone from the Great Society to the Hate Society in one generation. This speech by Johnson was lauded by so-called liberal do-gooders and marked the beginning of white guilt, the individual or collective guilt often said to be felt by some white people for the racist treatment of people of color by whites both historically and presently. On that day, Johnson declared unconditional war on poverty in America. It sounds good, right? A war on poverty? Well, some white people did own slaves, and helping the poorest among us is never a bad thing, is it? Well, let me explain to you some of the other elements of this picture. Sure, some white folks owned slaves and stood on the backs of the poor to earn their fortunes. Did we all do it? No, we didn't. Should we all be made to pay for those crimes? No. Should I, as the son of an immigrant, feel guilty for my success because of the sins of my fathers? My fathers had no sins. They had no sins whatsoever. just like you, Michael Savage, is forced to compete in the world the way it is now. I have been stepped on by the liberal society. I've been thrown out of jobs, not given jobs because of my race. And yet I am where I am because I wouldn't give up, because I have tenacity and I have the guts to keep fighting. But I treat people as fairly as possible, and I'm responsible for my own actions. I cannot and will not be responsible for the lot of others on this planet. In the same way, they're not responsible for mine. They don't care about me. Who helped me when I was down? Nobody. I had to turn to myself. Now, let me give you a little fact, all of you do-gooders. I want you to write this down, all of you do-gooders in San Francisco and elsewhere. Until 1965, 82% of black households had both a mother and a father in the home. 82% of black households, mother and father, until 1965, about equal to that of white families at the time. After the Great Society initiatives were put in place, the presence of black fathers in the home began a precipitous decline. Today, the American black out-of-wedlock birth rate is 69%. Why? Because the Great Society progressive policies instituted 50 years ago today have done this damage, especially to black families. You say, well, what's the connection? What is the causal link? It's very straightforward. The Democrats are very clever. They replaced the male in the household with the government, or by the government. The government became the father. The government became the breadwinner. The government became the supporter. The government became the husband. They decimated the family structure, especially in the African-American and the poor white community. That's an analysis that is shared by numerous sociologists over the last number of decades. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America is one of my mottos, my friends. Where is the America in what Christie said? There's nothing new. Christie tried to give the most sincere intonations in his exclamations and his protestations about the illegal alien children. Like you, your children don't deserve the same break. They do, though. You see, they're a special class. They are the sacred cow of America. In India, they have a sacred class, a sacred cow. You can't eat cows. You can't. Your car has to stop around cows. And then there's a class in India of the untouchables. In America, we have a sacred class. They're non-citizens. Yet the politicians seem to work for them, not for the citizens of the country, whatever your race or social status may be. How did it happen that this group called Congress, whatever level they're in, no matter what party they're in, seem to be representing non-citizens? How did that happen? Can anyone listening to this show honestly tell me what Christie did, where he's catering to the illegal alien children, the DREAM Act, that he's representing the American voter, the American taxpayer, fiscal responsibility? I don't see it. We've gone from the Great Society to the Hate Society in one generation. It's going to get much worse. Not because of me. You could say it's because of people who dare talk about reality, but you'd be wrong. No, it's because of them. It's because they're going to foist 30, 50 million illegal aliens upon us who will not be absorbed into this society. Until 1965, 82% of black households had both a mother and a father in the home. After 1965, after the Great Society initiated by LBJ, the black father in the home began to disappear. Today, the American black out-of-wedlock birth rate is 69%. Don't blame me for that. The liberal, socialist, progressive policies instituted 50 years ago on this date, today, have done damage to many families. But the biggest loser has been the African-American family. But how about that whole helping the poor angle? There has to be some good there, right? Well, President Obama, who has continued the liberal progressive policies of LBJ, basically giving people free stuff, extending unemployment benefits to lazy bums over and over again for people who don't even look for work anymore, has that lifted people out of poverty? No way. In fact, the poverty level under Obama has broken a 50-year record. 50 years of progressive social policies, and we have more poor, not fewer poor. Johnson promised that his progressive administration would be efficient, honest, and frugal. Has that happened? Efficient, honest, and frugal? Do I need to even discuss this? To call the Obama administration any of these things is to insult the English language. Words would have no meaning anymore. Now, Christie paints himself as a Republican. He is not. He's a progressive. Take the party name away from it. He's just a progressive. It's that simple. So if you want more poverty, you want more social disorder, you will have it by granting amnesty, whether it be to the Dreamer core of the illegals or the 30 to 50 million illegals and all of their brethren in all of the third world countries. I haven't yet gotten to the global warming scam artists, which is even an even bigger shame when you've got guys like Al Gorleone getting away with this and the entire academic establishment cashing in on this particular class of lie. The fact of the matter is, billions upon billions of dollars are being spent on the fraud of global warming. Now, no one is denying, by the way, myself included, that the evidence shows that the climate has risen as a result of pollution, but it's almost minuscule in amount, almost minuscule in the amount that it's risen. That's the thing to remember. While the hysterics will tell you there is a catastrophe around the horizon in the midst of even a freeze like this, people are saying, what, are you crazy? How do you explain it? And the con artists, by the way, will tell you that this is related to global warming. And yet, Richard Lindzen, he's a professor of meteorology at MIT, senior fellow at the Cato Institute, leading climate skeptic. By the way, he was once one of the founders of the entire field of climatology. He's a pioneering climate scientist, decades at Harvard and MIT, and he sees the discipline of meteorology being compromised by data fudging, out-and-out guesswork, alarmism. And he's come out to say that global warming is small and nothing to be alarmed about, which is not to say he wants the Earth to be polluted. I don't. You don't. Give me a car that runs on the sun's energy, I'll buy one. But we're not there yet. Just don't take away my Mercedes and my Ferrari and my Chevy van, okay, in the interim, because I like them very much, and I think that the internal combustion engine is really wonderful. I think it does a fabulous job. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
Let's continue talking about blue shot horror stories and the other topics of the day. There are known adverse reactions to the flu vaccine, including joint pain, swelling of lymph nodes. Have you ever experienced it? Itching. Vasculitis, which would be inflammation of blood vessels. There are other allergic reactions which have been temporarily associated with influenza vaccine. Hives, anaphylaxis, neuritis, encephalitis, optic neuritis. Guillain-Barré syndrome, which, by the way, can be quite devastating. There are other side effects. And what I'm trying to, let's say, warn you or alert you to is the fact that everything is not 100% one way or the other. And so you should be aware that there are side effects. That's all. Maybe you had it in the, you didn't get the flu and you're very happy. Good for you. I'm glad. But some would say that flu vaccine appears to actually increase people's risk of getting sick with H1N1, and could even cause more serious bouts of illness to boot. And I have evidence to that effect as well. And I want to say all of this for a reason. Because in flu season, which we're in right now, what do you think, I'm idiotic? You think I can't get the flu? Of course I can. I dread getting the flu. I'd be out of business. I'd be sick, and I wouldn't be able to function. There's no bigger germaphobe than me. I avoid, if anyone's sneezing or coughing, I leave a restaurant. I'm standing in line, a coffin behind me, even if it's on my hair on the back of my head, I leave. I don't want it. I don't argue with them. I go. I don't want to get into an argument with a phlegm job. But the point is, I am suffusing my body with large doses of ascorbic acid every day, and I have for 30 years. I mean powdered vitamin C of the highest quality. I take the Rolls Royce of vitamin C. I don't just take pills in the store. Most of them are dead. It's like eating chalk. You know, I hate to make such a bad analogy, but anyone in the illicit drug business or anyone who's ever used illicit drugs understands what I'm talking about. I mean, you can get 90% pure heroin, for example, and die from it. And then you get people cutting drugs with, you know, baby laxative, etc., meaning cut, cut, cut. And then you could get fake heroin, or you can get the same with marijuana. Remember when you were a kid, people would sell you oregano? It's the same with vitamin C. You could be getting the equivalent of powder, no vitamin value whatsoever. Or you can get the Rolls Royce. I wish I had a product to sell you. I don't. Nevertheless, I take massive doses of ascorbic acid, and I take large amounts of zinc, etc. I do other things. I don't want to turn it into a whole health show. It's mainly a political show, but 90% of the United States is frozen. Here on the West Coast, by the way, we're going through a weird phase of drought. We're missing it. It's cold at night, but we're going through a horrible drought. There's little or no snow up in the High Sierra, which is awful, both for skiers and also for the water table and for the crops in the spring. So I'm quite concerned, but what am I going to do about it? Go to sleep at night and say, oh, there's a drought, I can't sleep? What can I do about it? I'm not Al Gore. I can't control the weather. I'm not Barack Obama. I can't control the weather. I mean, men like that can control the weather because they're demigods. You understand that? That's how it works. We're talking about flu shot horror stories. I'm trying to be objective about this, and I'm trying to be fair, because if you just listen to the medical government establishment, they'll tell you, don't worry, leave it to us. You know, the patronizing imperialism of the doctor establishment and the government establishment. They know all. They'll never tell you that there might be any potential problems, and there are. I'm not trying to poison the well against modern medicine. I wouldn't be alive without it. Many wonder drugs have saved me, and I respect that. And although I have been a leader for many, many decades in the alternative or complementary health fields with my many books, etc., I certainly believe in both worlds. And it's the same with government. I'm not trying to undermine government. I'm trying to encourage government to be good government. And I'm trying to tell you that you should go in with your eyes wide open with no matter what you do, whether it be a flu shot or anything else. Flu is epidemic, yet more people have taken the flu vaccine this year than ever before. How do you put, you can't put two and two together, so what was the point of taking it? How did this happen? I'm on the side against flu vaccines. I wouldn't take it. I told everyone in my family not to take it. And if you want to comment on this, you can't, because the lines, as I knew, would be jammed up. I will give you my bias so you don't think I'm objective. I'm not objective. I can read the literature, but I'm not objective. And let me tell you something. Nobody in the media is objective. Nobody in science is objective anymore these days. It's all a business. And if you don't adhere to the party line, whether it's in climate science or in immunology, you don't get grants. If you don't get grants, you don't get an appointment, and you don't work in this town anymore. So I'll tell you right off the bat, I have a bias. I'm anti-vaccine for personal and professional reasons. So let's go into the questions that I asked. The board's jammed out. Don't get frustrated if you can't get through. What is a flu shot? There are four different types of flu vaccines. A standard flu shot, a high-dose flu shot for those 65 and older, an intradermal administered shot for those who are needle-phobic, and a nasal spray. This is interesting. Contrary to what you may believe, the first three vaccines do not contain the live flu virus. They do not. The vaccine is made from two of the hundreds of different proteins that make up an influenza virus. And so you take two surface proteins off the virus. It doesn't mean it's live. There's no real organism there. It's a surface protein. And the scientists would say it's not possible to cause infection or disease with it, and they'll say the flu shot does not give you the flu, but I disagree with them. There's another side to the story. The nasal spray does contain live flu viruses. The nasal spray does contain live flu viruses. Dr. Dan Harper, who is against vaccinations of all kinds, said this. He said, use your head. You have 100 million viruses sprayed up the nose, along with other things like MSG and sugar, which causes inflammation. And since the virus also contains egg proteins, you run the risk of introducing an avian retrovirus, which can cause encephalitis in humans. And so here you are spraying this up into your nose, just a few millimeters from the brain, with MSG traveling across the blood-brain barrier, causing potential damage to neurotransmitters. Now, the government itself does not conclude that flu shots are 100% safe and effective. Even they say that they're not 100% safe and effective. That we understand. Yet, there are those who would argue that you should get a flu shot for humane reasons. They insist you get it. They say that anyone should get a flu shot, except people with an egg allergy. Anyone 6 months or older, they say, should get a flu shot every year. They say protecting yourself is an altruistic act. By getting vaccinated, you not only protect yourself, but you protect those around you as well. I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you at all. And the fact of the matter is, I believe that the epidemic that is out there right now indicates that the flu vaccine that has been created by the best minds of our generation, sarcastic remark, is rather ineffective. Do you believe that you want to put formaldehyde into your serum? Thimerosal, which is found in the adult version of it, that's the mercury. which is known to impair neurological and immune systems. How about detergents, antibiotics?
Savage.